Good morning, everyone. Today is March 15th. In two more days, I will have been in Vermont for 22 years. Woohoo! The parade they were going to have in my honor has been canceled, but, you know, St. Patrick's Day parade has been canceled up here. I want to talk this morning about trusting God. And for those who aren't in the room with us right now, those who are listening online, all of our songs this morning have been leading up to this message. We sang, God is able. We sang, we'll praise you in this storm. We sang, even if. And we sang, I will trust in you. All these different artists talking about how God is at work even when the circumstances and situations don't go the way we think they ought to, or don't go the way we hope they would. Last week, we talked about loving more. And how, no matter how much we love, we are imperfect in it. And we need God working in it to be able to love people more and to show people more that we love them. Love them like God loves them. Now I want to talk about trusting God more no matter what our circumstances are. And we're going to start in Hebrews 11 beginning with verse 1. Very familiar passage for everybody. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We're going to stop right there. I find it amazing that in this passage, it talks about Abel, who was righteous, who trusted God, and still got killed by his brother. And when we talk about Enoch, who walked with God and never saw death. Trusting God isn't a guarantee that everything is going to go smooth in your life. Everybody understands that, right? You know, Facebook is a very interesting thing. I had a memory pop up on Facebook this morning from 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, I had shared that life is like a tapestry. And while we look at our circumstances, we forget the fact that the things we are going through at any given moment are just part of the little knot that is part of a much bigger picture that we don't understand. And when we get focused on our little knots, if we get focused on our current situation, or the problems that we face or whatever we encounter, the difficulties, that we lose sight of the fact that there is a whole lot more going on. God is still at work, even when things don't appear to be going well for us, even when we find ourselves in turmoil or find ourselves in a mess. This fact, this calling out to God, asking God how come things aren't going our way, is nothing new. I mean, we're facing it in this generation, but it's been going on. You can go back through the Bible. In fact, let's take a look at Habakkuk. Habakkuk 1, beginning with verse 1, says, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. He says that every place I look, there is problems. Every place I look, there is turmoil. I cry out to you, Lord, and nothing changes. We talked, was it last week? We didn't mention it last week. We were talking about in the Judges, how the people would remember God, and God would send them a judge, send them somebody, a deliverer. And after the judge died, then they would forget about God again. And maybe it's 20 years, maybe it's 40 years, however long it was, until God sent them another deliverer. Well, the children of Israel were in Egypt in bondage for 400 years. That's an awful long time. You know? So when we sit there and say, God, how come you're not working on my timetable? This is nothing new. God is doing something that we don't understand, and we're not always going to get the answer that we want. But that's why we sung those songs this morning. God, I know you're able, and I know you can walk through the fire with your mighty hand, but even if you don't, are we going to trust God no matter what our circumstances are, no matter what happens? We like to say we will. We hope we will. But when we're tested, how do we come through the fire? When we're tested, how does that work out? I don't know about you. Sometimes I find myself falling short. So what we just read there in Habakkuk was Habakkuk crying out to the Lord. Listen to what the Lord says, verse 5. Look among the nations and watch and be utterly astounded, for I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it were told to you. And I'm not going to go into what he's talking about in this specific prophecy, but that's the same thing we all face. God, why aren't you doing something? Why aren't you fixing this situation? We had a person going here a number of years ago whose a family member had cancer. And I was absolutely convinced that God was going to heal her and raise her up. And I told him, I said, God is going to do something you are not going to believe. Guess what? God didn't heal her. She died of the cancer. Didn't happen the way I thought it was. Didn't happen the way I was sure God was going to. It didn't shake my faith that God is able. Okay? I understand that God is able. In fact, I know you're able. I know you can. You know, God, you can do it. He doesn't always do the things the way that I would want them done. Sometimes we face situations that are absolutely overwhelming. I was fully expecting David to recover several months ago when I saw him in the hospital. Not what God had in mind. We all go through things. We've all lost loved ones. We've all faced situations that were just completely overwhelming. I know what it's like to get walked out of a job, you know? But Lord, I thought this was the provision you had for me. Well, it was the provision I had for you for that time. And then I have something else for you. Are you going to trust me and let me work? We all face these circumstances. Whether it's we recognize them as knots in the back of a tapestry, or just God working in us to cause us to grow, to cause us to cry out to Him, to cause us to seek His face, to test us to see if we will trust Him no matter what. Let's go back to Hebrews 11, dropping down to verse 35. Now, between verse 6 and verse 35, it goes through some specific people, you know, how God used this one, how God worked in this one, how God did the other one. But once it gets down here, it starts to get a little more generic. Verse 35 says, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens of caves of the earth. All of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Trusting God doesn't mean that everything is going to go smooth in our life. Praise God. In all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me. In everything we are to give thanks. We have a confidence of knowing that God is with us. It doesn't always go the way we want it to. situations do not always work out the way I had hoped or I would hope. And as we read right here in Hebrews 11, as we're talking the faith chapter of God, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. That's the start of the chapter. The bottom of the chapter says they were tortured, they were sawn in two, they were stoned. But they still had faith. They still had the good report. They still had the good testimony. We look at, if you see any of the reports about the persecuted church and what things in other countries are, what things our brothers and sisters in other countries go through, it's absolutely horrific. But God is still at work. It doesn't mean their faith is any less. It means the circumstance that God is bringing them through, praise God, at the moment is a little different than what He's putting me through. That sounds very selfish, at least to my ears. But it doesn't change the fact that God is still in control. God still loves us and them. We are not currently escaping any of that persecution because He loves us more or because we're better people. It's just a situation that God has us in and has them in. One thing you'll find if you deal with people in other countries, especially where there is persecution, is they believe God is going to work. They trust God in the middle of their storm. Here, we don't face a lot of hardships, at least at the moment. And because we don't face a lot of hardships, it's very easy to get complacent. You know, if I lose a job, I'm retired, by the way, so that's one of those hypothetical things. But if I lost a job, I know right now where there's a dozen help wanted signs. But I've also been in Israel and been refused work because I was Christian. So sometimes there are places where just being a Christian gets you shunned, gets you blocked from so many different things. In places like Indonesia or over in India, a lot of times Christians are run out or killed. Over in Iraq or over in the Middle East, there's a lot of places where Christians are persecuted. Their buildings, their homes destroyed, everything they have taken away. All of these things happen. And it doesn't change the fact that God is still at work and God still loves us. God is still working in the circumstances. And even in the midst of the turmoil, people are coming to Jesus. In the midst of the turmoil, people are seeing God and drawing close to Him. So we are called to trust God more no matter what our circumstances are. Because I can tell you right now, I don't yet have perfect trust of God. I've been standing in this pulpit. This is my 14th year standing in this pulpit. And there are still situations in my life that come up where my first thought is not to trust God. Praise God, I get there, but it's not the first thought. Revelation 6. Now your bulletins say 6 through 9. It's actually 9 through 11. So if you're wanting to follow along, read back the scriptures after when you get home and go through them again, know that that's what's in the bulletin is not quite the right one. What? Oh, awesome. Never mind. Deb fixed it. Praise God. Amen. Revelation 6, 9 through 11 says, "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed." In Revelation, the souls under the altar saying, "How long, O Lord, Are you going to let this go on? Remember what we just read in Habakkuk? Lord, how long will I cry out to you and you not answer? They're in heaven. The souls under the altar in heaven are still waiting for some of these things to happen. For God to wipe every tear from the eyes. For God to set things, you know, to avenge them, to set things right. God's timing is not our timing. But we can look at the Bible. If we see it in Habakkuk, we see it in Revelation, we see it in all through the Psalms. How long, O Lord? In the Proverbs, the different prophets. God, the people cry out to you and you do not answer. In Job, I cry out to him and he will not answer. God doesn't always answer on our timetable. It doesn't change the fact that God is still at work. He is still on the throne. He is still doing wondrous things. He still loves us. He is still involved in the circumstances. He is still taking care of us. One of the things that it happens to me a lot, I don't know how it happens with anybody else, but it happens to me a lot. One of the ways that I think God is showing me that He's still watching over me, not that I need complete 100% reminders every day, but they sure are nice, is we'll walk, when we leave here today, Deb and I will be driving down the road, we will have Christian radio on, and I know at least three messages I'm going to hear are going to include some of these very scriptures. Not because we all have a calendar and this is what we're doing, but because as God speaks to people, He's speaking to the body of Christ, not just to one person or two people. And people are going to be getting the same message or a very similar message or using the same scriptures to bring out what the Lord is saying. That blesses me so much. Because I don't know about you, I need encouragement. Second Timothy 1, beginning with verse 8. Paul saying to Timothy, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Stop right there for just a second. Paul says, God is at work. God's got a plan, and he had this laid out before time began. And he's working it out. Remember when I talked about that tapestry? We look at the knots, we look at the turmoil, we look at the problems we face. And we get our focus on that, on the minutia, the small things, the things, you know, I see Deb working on her cross stitch sometimes. And I know that she doesn't leave loose threads on the back now. I got corrected on that. She makes sure she tucks them in. She does a really good job. But when she's working on the cross stitch, she's got the cross stitch and she's got this magnifying glass focusing on the little things. So when we're in the middle of a storm, when we're in the middle of a crisis, when we are in the middle of a turmoil of some sort, we tend to focus just on that and get our eyes off the fact that God is doing something much bigger. When we focus just on the little knot, we don't see the picture. Granted, most of the time we can't see the whole picture anyway, but we can, if we'll step back, if we'll change our focus, we can see a lot more going on than just the little things. When you watch the news and they talk about how a tornado, for instance, there was just a tornado down in Nashville. A tornado went through and did so much destruction, and it was a lot of destruction. There were 24 people, I think, died, and there were still some missing, the last I heard. And in the middle of that, you find things, little things, just to let you know something's more is going on than what you had anticipated. There was one house gone. The only thing left where the house was the Bible. Saw a thing about a fire. A house burned down. The Bible was still fine. What? little things, things that just don't seem to make any sense at all, but should draw our attention because God is doing something that we don't understand. Let me continue on there in 2 Timothy. Verse 10 says, "But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed. For I know in whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us." Paul says, even though I'm going through a lot of things, I suffer a lot of things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day. Paul said that whatever I'm going through, I recognize that God has me in the palm of his hands. God is taking care of me. Famous quote from Jim Elliot, who was a missionary to, I'm going to say Brazil, but South America. Him and two other guys, maybe two other guys and a pilot. But there was a group that went down as missionaries to a group that had a tribe that had never seen a white person, never seen the gospel. They got there and they were killed almost immediately, or immediately. And some years later, his family went down to the same tribe and were actually able to bring the gospel to them. But Jim Elliot, one of his famous quotes, is says, "He is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." When we're trusting God, we have to be willing to lay down the things that we can't hold on to anyway, knowing that God is the one who keeps us. And that's exactly what Paul said here. "I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him until that day." As we go through the storms of life, as we go through problems, as we go through health issues, as we go through family issues, as we go through trials, whether they be financial or spiritual or relationship or whatever the trials happen to be, whatever it is we happen to face, we'll find ourselves in the middle of storms sometimes. We'll find ourselves in a fiery furnace sometimes. We'll find ourselves in dangerous situations sometimes. But it doesn't change the fact that God has us engraved in the palm of his hands. He is keeping us. He is working in us. And he is worthy of trusting. We can trust God more. Deb and I will often listen to either praise music or different messages that are on YouTube in the morning, especially in the morning when we're getting breakfast and stuff like that. And I heard one the other day, and I didn't hear exactly who the minister was. I think it might have been Charles Stanley, but he was talking about trusting God and not worrying, and said that when we worry over an issue, it's a good indication that we don't fully trust God in that area. Because if we fully trusted God to take care of it, why would we be worried about it? We can all trust God more.
And they also said it's a sin against God to worry.
Yep. It's a sin against God to worry, was what the minister had said. So each and every one of us can trust God more. Not yet perfect. None of us have such a glow of the Lord on our face that we have to wear a veil to hide the glow so that people can stand to look at us. But praise God, that means there's potential. Final passage of Scripture, Philippians 4:7. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be made Be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Isn't it interesting that to get to that peace of God, we have to be trusting God? Because he says, don't be anxious. You know, another translation says, don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. But the peace of God comes when we trust God in it. That peace that passes all understanding. You know, whether it's I lost my job or I have this situation coming up or, you know, in my case, I've got a daughter that hasn't spoken to me in 25 years. But I know God loves her more than I do. And I know He hasn't cast her aside. He is still reaching out for her. And I'm not anxious or worried about that because I know God is in control. Yes, I hurt, but I also trust. That's the four sons and a daughter. That's the daughter. God is still at work. So when we learn to trust God, no matter what our circumstances are, when we commit to trust God, even when things don't work out, even when we get the bad news, even when you can't make a connection with people, even when we feel lost and isolated, know that God is still with us. God still cares about us and we can trust Him. So, Father, we do thank You, Lord. We thank You, Father, that You are faithful, that You are trustworthy, that You are the one who sees the end from the beginning. That as Paul just told Timothy, You set these things in motion. You knew about these things before the foundation of the world. That You are at work in our hearts and in our lives. And Father, that we are never alone. So we trust You. We draw near to You. And we know we need to trust You more. Because there will be more tests. There will be more circumstances. There will be more times when we feel absolutely helpless. But we don't, even when we don't have the strength, You do. Even when we don't have the wisdom, You do. Even when we look at the knot, You're still working on the tapestry. Even when we look at the problem, You are still directing our steps. Even when we stumble, You're the one who picks us up. And we give praise and thanks for all that You do. And we trust You. And we give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.